At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
2-2 pitch. Swing.
All right, welcome back to the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. Alongside me, as always, is my co-host, Dylan White, the master of the Robo Scout, still reigning NFBC co-champion, him and Brian Slack. Dylan, how's it going, man? Halfway point, we're here, pretty much. A little bit past, yeah. But we'll say it's the halfway point.
It's I can't believe how fast it's flying by. It's pretty nuts. But, yeah. It's you just had your long weekend celebrating your nation's birth and eating some grilled stuff, I assume, and you're refreshed, I imagine.
I went to New York City and with a family. Kids had never been before, so we did about 2 full days in New York. It was really parts of 2 days and then 1 full day on the 4th. We got in, you know, earlier on the 3rd, left a little bit later on the 5th, so we got a good chunk of time. No grilled stuff, really. Came into town, went around, saw some things. We were down 3rd and 52nd is where we were staying, right over there. So we walked up and we saw St. Patrick's Cathedral. Across the street from that is 30 Rock, which is the NBC studios. So we walked through 30 Rock afterward and did that whole thing. We walked over to Times Square. The kids were overwhelmed by the amount of people in Times Square, and we had warned them ahead of time, like days ahead of time, especially my youngest. I said, if you see someone dressed like Elmo or the Cookie Monster, etc., please stay away from them and do not hug them because they're probably dirty and gross. So that wasn't a problem because I think they were so freaked out by just the amount of people and how tight it is in Times Square at like 5:30 in the afternoon. That wasn't a problem. And then we got a quick taxi ride over to Bleecker Street, which is the mecca of pizza here in America. And we ate at John's of Bleecker Street, which is considered one of the best pizza places in the world. It was excellent. Got a couple pies, sat down with the family. They did not have Coca-Cola products. They had RC Cola, which I had not had an RC Cola, I have to tell you, in probably 25 years. Like, it was the 90s the last time I had an RC Cola, you know. It was bringing me back. All they had to have was, like, some clearly Canadian, and it would have been my go-to 90s beverages right there. But that was cool. And, you know, my daughter, big Taylor Swift fan. So we went, we saw where Taylor Swift lived over on Cornelia Street and took a picture in front of her old house. And then we walked a ton of miles back and wore the kids out and they fell asleep. And next day we did like Central Park and then, you know, went over to the Freedom Tower and the 9/11 Memorial, which is really cool. I hadn't been there before. That was kind of unique. And, then we hopped in the ferry, went out to the Statue of Liberty. My wife grew up right outside of New York City, had never been to the Statue of Liberty before. Same for myself. And I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed all the history that's kind of in the harbor. There's some old Revolutionary War forts and some like 1800s forts and stuff like that, like in Governor's Island and things that you don't necessarily see or hear about in New York City. So as like a former history major and Revolutionary War buff, that was pretty cool. I honestly, I really enjoyed it. We went over to Ellis Island as well. We both had some family that came through Ellis Island when they immigrated to this country. So we checked that out too. It was pretty cool and came back. We were going to stick around for the fireworks, but it's getting kind of late. Kids are kind of tired. We went back and ended up watching the fireworks on TV from a hotel room. And then we could hear the explosions, but we were staying on the East River, fireworks on the Hudson. So we didn't see any of those firsthand, unfortunately, but still a great trip and no grilled stuff. I had a gyro. I had a sandwich. We had some Mexican food of all things for whatever reason. Wife wanted a margarita, so, you know, wasn't going to stop her from that. And I think I had some street food, like a gyro, stuff like that, you know. So, yeah, I got my New York eats in, but mostly no grilled stuff. No grilled stuff at all.
And but by fireworks, did you mean the Ben Rice 3 home runs?
Yes, that was on the other side of New York. So it was like we were in the middle, fireworks on this side, Ben Rice fireworks on this side, who is a local Massachusetts native to myself, but grew up a Yankees fan. So we do have some of those in the area. He must have known from a young age what his future held. So there you go. Shouts out to Ben Rice. By the way, any Ben Rice shares? I don't have them anywhere. I picked them up. I think I streamed him somewhere and then dropped him. And maybe 2 days later, he had the 3 home run game. So got great luck.
I do have Ben Rice in my 20 team dynasty. I have him.
Nice.
It's nice that he qualifies as a catcher. So that's pretty good. Yeah, I do have him just in the one spot.
There you go. That's not too bad, but very good. We're going to get into it today. We're going to talk a little bit about the futures game rosters. I'm going to be leaving on Thursday to head out there. We'll be doing our typical prospect pad on Friday where we interview all the different participants in the futures game. It's always a really great event. One of the biggest things we do every year and something I'm always really excited to participate in. So we got that coming up and then the futures game on Saturday and then day one of the draft on Sunday. And then I fly back here to Massachusetts on Monday afternoon, and I'll probably watch, you know, some day two and day three and start my month of just bombing the Cape. That's what the plan is. So when I come back, we're going to have lots of Cape video. We're going to be focused on those 2025s, getting to know those guys. We got a bunch of players that returned from USA national team over the last week. So a lot of stuff going on there. But hey, I wanted to talk to you about this one, Dylan, if I may. Something that you had dropped actually in our internal Baseball America Slack, where obviously we're always discussing baseball and articles and all that sort of thing. So this is from Michael Marino, who covers the Mets for Inside Scoop MLB. I know that he's been covering the Mets for a little bit here. But the tweet is, the Mets are being very careful with how they use Christian Scott, and they should. Sources tell me that for a short period of time last year, the Mets feared that he may have needed Tommy John surgery. Ultimately, his arm healed with time, and he was cleared to resume pitching. And then just a reminder here, not only did he have Tommy John surgery scare, he only pitched 87.2 innings last year. Mets need to exercise caution with Scott, despite how annoying that may seem now, blah, blah, blah. My first question is, like, how did this get out? Frankly, you know, there, as somebody who reports on teams and has sources, this is the kind of thing often I'm told to, like, kind of keep under wraps. You know, there's been numerous pitchers and injuries, I think, probably over the last year, since year and a half, since that we've been working together, that behind the scenes I've said, hey, this is what's really going on, and was not able to report something else because, you know, you don't have multiple sources and, you know, it's sort of given to you on basis of anonymity. That's a tough word for me to say for some reason. One is, how does that get out? But number two, does that take some of the shine off of Christian Scott for you a little bit? Like, does it add in some additional fears? You know, I always knew he was ramping up in terms of volume this year, but it seemed like there weren't a ton of restrictions, and it wasn't like they just shut him down from pitching. He did go down to AAA, pitched there, and came back up again. So what are your thoughts on this Scott story? How does it impact sort of your own, steal a term from Carlos and Ben here, your future projection for him as a fantasy asset?
I mean, I think you got to at least, it has to affect something, I think. I don't think it's a lie, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. But,
oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, it does take the shine off of it a bit. I mean, he is like the second highest rated pitcher in RoboScout, behind Skeens. His, like, ERA projection, a ratio projection is like very good. I have him in a number of spots. And so, yeah, I'm a bit disappointed at that for sure. I think the perceived value, at least, it's going to, you know, people, the vultures are going to circle trying to get maybe him for cheap or else not at all. You won't be able to trade him because they want to wait and see. I think the flip side is like, you know, everyone's kind of at risk at Tommy John in a way. You know, we always talk about Tanaka had like the injury to the UCL and he still pitched through it and he was fine. I don't know. I don't know why it would come out. I think there was a, like he pitched 99. I think what I read is he threw 99 pitches in his last start. And then today he pitched on 4 days rest. And so like they wanted to just kind of be careful with it. So I think, you know, some fans were up in arms, like, why are they taking him out for Eric Orr's or Orzy, however you pronounce it. He was pitching so well, blah, 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 that like maybe they're trying to calm down the masses by, well, you know, we're taking it easy because he's very important to our future. And, you know, we want to make sure that he's able to be effective for a long time. So, yeah, I'm a bit nervous about it. I don't know if I would trade for him. I don't know if I would be able to or I would want to like trade him. I think it's a wait and see. He's been reasonably effective in the majors. I still have a high projection on him. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm still kind of taking it all in. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It definitely has me a little bit more skeptical of him being a guy that can build up to like 180, 190 innings next year. You know, I think like in terms of my expectations for this year, he's pitching well. We sort of knew he'd be in AAA. They called him up, and at that point, I figured he was just kind of there to stay, and then maybe they would go six-man rotation at times and do some of that stuff. They haven't. So, you know, it's tough, Dylan. It's one of those things where I really like the player. I really like the skill set. Just from a skill perspective, he's totally the type of guy I like to go after. And I think we've talked about this a little bit more, and I think it's probably maybe my cause of 2024, but it's these older college pitchers that have some pitchability that begin to develop as professionals that can take big steps. Quinn Matthews is one of them, Zebby Matthews being another. We've seen a lot of these guys. I just think that that's a really good profile to invest in fantasy. I think that the initial cost of the investment is really, really pretty low. And then in terms of what your return is, I think there's a lot of potential for those guys to turn into number threes in fantasy or better, you know, just because they do have that ability maybe to get outs in a variety of ways besides just striking out the world. They have an ability to get deeper into games because they are efficient with their pitches. They do know how to get outs in other ways besides just blowing it by a guy every single time. You know, obviously in a idealistic sense, you want to a batter to swing and miss on every single pitch that you throw, but that is just not reality, especially when you get to the major leagues. And it seems like these guys that, and I know, I think I've referenced this before, but Matt Collier and Lucas Fabio's system. One of the things I really like about how he breaks down draft pitchers is he looks at sort of what would be classified as like hard contact avoidance or just like batted ball profiles. And he kind of digs into those a little bit just in terms of like pull fly ball avoidance. And some of those characteristics that I think are maybe a little bit harder to grab because it's not just, you know, straight numbers that you're going to get on Fangraphs. It's not just straight numbers that you're going to get in a Statcast sheet. It's, you know, looking a little bit more as to like the holistic pitcher and the, you know, stringing all the different batted ball events that a particular pitcher gives up. So I find that to be really fascinating. And I think that like when he's looking at the draft this year, I think that there's, you know, and I think this is topical. I know it's not what our topic is for today, but there's three pitchers at the top. You have Hagen Smith, who has some injury issues. He's kind of a two-pitch guy. I think from like a fastball perspective, a left-handed fastball with that velocity, that release height, and the movement, it's a really good combination of traits that I like. You have Chase Burns, who's just obviously a true power right-hander, you know, power fastball, power slider, mixes in the curveball and a changeup as well. Both of those guys do have a little bit more relief risk, we'll say. I don't know. You know, they're the type of starters that could just come in and dominate right away. These guys have had a pretty good track record over the years. Then I look at a guy like Trey Yesevich, and I know it was something that Matt, I think, had tweeted the other day, but like Yesevich has great contact avoidance skills, and he has great stuff too. You know, not he wasn't in a power five, so I think at times that gets held against him. But ECU has produced some pitchers. I saw, I watched one today pitch, Gavin Williams, right? It was an ECU guy, and there's others as well. But the thing with Yesevich is, like, you've seen the data. I mean, it's like absurd hop. I think like the TrackMan readout say like 22 inches of induced vertical break. It's not 22. It's probably more like 19, but it's outlier vertical break, 94, 95, pop 6, 7, you know, good feel for secondaries. And there's pitchability there too, that for me going into an FYPD next year, that's kind of the guy that I want, you know. If you're not getting one of those top hitters at the top, I feel like Yesevich is probably the dude that I'm most into. So long story short, I think Scott kind of fits into that, as well as a lot of these guys that we've seen break out this year, where, you know, they have the track record of building up innings in college, and then they get into pro development, and maybe it's a location tweak. I know for a lot of guys, depending upon what kind of fastball they have, college coaches love the low fastballs. That doesn't always work if you got a lot of hop. You know, and I think another part of it too is just sort of, you know, pro training and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, the amount of data and information you have probably at your fingertips, and you got a little bit more money to play with too. Not that NIL doesn't pay well, but doesn't pay like bonuses do. So, you know, I think there's all that element. Where hitters, you know, I think I fall on the other side where very much comes into like, I like those prep guys with a lot of tools, you know. The guys that get to college typically don't have as high a ceiling as those prep players or those guys that sign internationally that, you know, RoboScout does a great job of following. It's one of my favorite things when I, you know, read your articles before you send them to me is like, hey, check out, like, you know, what do these guys look like? And that's what my bids are. Like, all right, who are the DSL guys that are popping here? Like, you know, who are the ACL or the FCL guys that are popping? Because I feel like that's where the upside is, you know. Where with pitching, I think I want a little bit older. I want that track record that this guy can handle innings. You know, he's been in situations where he's had to win a game or help his team win a game. And that's just not – it stinks to say this about minor league baseball. That's just really not the point. It's a it's development at that point. They're not concerned with winning. You know, there's no student body that's behind them, a whole region that's behind them. You know, if you're in Louisiana or Arkansas or, you know, parts of Texas, et cetera, Oregon State, like winning in those environments means a lot. And it means a lot from like the beginning of the season in February until the last game that you play, you know. And games are managed differently at that level than they're managed in the minor leagues. So I do think there's a development element for pitchers where getting through lineups, facing those challenges, getting to the lineup the third time through on a consistent basis when you're a college ace, even if you're not facing the quality of competition you're going to see in double A and above, I do think that it speaks volumes about your ability to pitch. And then it's a matter of like, all right, maybe this guy has some traits like Quinn Matthews. Quinn Matthews set 89 to like 91, 92 in college. And now it's 4 to 5. And we're seeing him take that step up in terms of his prospect status. So I guess this is just my long rant that makes me a little sad that that's the case with Christian Scott. But we'll see what happens because he's definitely sort of in line to what I still like. I don't think I'll be totally off of him, but maybe I should be. Maybe I should be more concerned by the injury, Dylan. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's gotta be a factor. It's gotta be you gotta ding him. At very least, if you're in a redraft league and you expected, you know, 70 innings for the rest of the season, like that's not gonna happen probably. And Kodai Senga is coming back too, so maybe, you know, maybe this is like PR move to explain in quotes why they're sending Scott back down when Senga comes off the IL. It's kind of like leaking this out. And then, so if he never has Tommy John, it's like, it's icing on the cake. Look, oh wow, we handled him properly. I don't know. Maybe that's cynical.
Maybe it's, that is pretty good. That is pretty good. I like that. You know, they're going to pull the Tanaka. See, it didn't matter. Like, you know, Tanaka, like just got some rest and PRP injections, and he's fine. You know, he did pitch a long time. He's the only guy that I've ever seen sort of overcome the potential risk of Tommy John surgery, though. I don't think he was ever quite as dominant as he was when he first came over for like that first half of season. Tanaka was like top five pitchers in baseball, and then it slowly sort of plateaued. So, but it was always good, but, you know, did plateau a little bit. But we're going to get into the future game rosters in a second. Before we do that, though, Dylan, let's take a quick break.
Let's do it.
All right, here we go.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
And we're back. As we teased at the beginning of the show, we're going to be talking a little bit about the 2024 MLB futures game rosters. I just thought this was a good conversation for the midway point. Not that all the biggest prospects or biggest stars are in this game, but a lot of good ones are. A lot of top prospects are as well. So I think there's a lot to be excited about. I say we break this down by going through pitching groups for the AL, then position groups for the AL, then we'll do the same damn thing for the NL. What do you think?
Sounds excellent.
That works for me. All right here. So, Dylan, let's go through the American League pitchers here. We got A.J. Bluebaugh, right-hander from the Astros, top 30 prospect for them. Actually, I think in the top 10. Caden Dana, right-hander from the Angels, been one of their best prospects, maybe their best prospect over the last couple of years. I think he's a really interesting player. Oh, I hate this name. Ben Kudrna, I believe that's right, or Kudrna. I actually had an interview with him, and he told me how to say his name, and I still didn't say it right, like four times in a row. It was back in the old Prospect Live days with Joe Doyle on the show, and I think Joe was dying as I was like sweating it out trying to say his name. But that is Ben Kudrna, right-hander from the Royals. Louis Morales, right-hander from the Athletics. Fernando Perez, right-hander from the Blue Jays. Winston Santos, right-hander from the Rangers. Noah Schultz, a left-hander from the White Sox, the biggest name, I would say, among this pitching staff on the AL. Brock Selvedge, left-hander from the Yankees with crazy slider. And then Emiliano Teodo, right-hander from the Angels, Emiliano Teodo, right-hander from the Rangers. Of this group, Dylan, who's the guy you're most excited to see?
Well, I mean, this is low-hanging fruit, but I think it's definitely Noah Schultz. Probably some of the best stuff in the minor leagues. He's always at the top of the RoboScout level that he's at. First it was high A, now it's double A. I just want to see the whole operation in like on the big screen. Just very interested to see. Have they announced the starter for the game? Like, do we know who it is?
No, I don't believe that they have. I would imagine it might be Schultz, though.
Yeah, I think he's it might be Schultz. I think the game's only seven innings, right? So I think it's just going to be like one inning per. It's not going to be like the starter goes two, maybe three, and then they bring in like one inning each. It's probably just going to be 1-1-1-1. I expect him to be very interesting.
It may not even be. We might even see half innings from a couple of guys.
Oh yeah.
Like we saw from like Zulueta a couple years ago where he came in for like one out, you know, cause they have nine pitchers here. So
yeah. There is a chance. True,
yeah.
I think so. Like last year, how it was like Mizurowski was kind of like the talk of the town because of just the domination that he was kind of showing. I think like Emiliano Teodo may be that guy this year.
All right. That was my guy. That's the guy that I'm most excited to see. I love Teodo. I watched his most recent start. I believe that was a Saturday start for him. And like stuff is just so good. You know, on the season right now, over 14 starts at Double A, he's got a 1.71 ERA. He's throwing a ton of strikes. We know this guy obviously is a fireball baller. So that should be, you know, sort of nothing out of the ordinary. But yeah, I mean, he went 5 2/3 the other night, allowed 2 hits, 2 walks, 7 Ks. Had 10 Ks the previous start, 8 the start before that, 11 the start before that. And I think the thing that I really like about him just overall is sort of his combination of really elite stuff and then like these strike throwing abilities that, you know, I don't think were something I necessarily anticipated. You know, the K rate, obviously the walk rate is still fairly high, 12.3%, which I guess is the same as last season, but the strikes are up I can tell you just from strike rates that those pitches are in the zone a lot more than you think. And it's elite stuff. I mean, he legitimately sits 98 miles an hour as a starter, and mixes in a swing and miss slider. That's just a really good pitch. So Teodo to me is somebody that, you know, I think maybe looked like a relief for us guy a year ago, but this year he's really sort of proven that he's more than that, you know. He's handled innings. He's really navigated lineups well. Like I said, the strikes have been better, at a higher level. And, you know, of his whatever 14 starts, he's only not gotten out of the fifth 4 times, and 2 of those were his first 2 starts, right, where he's probably building up a little bit. And that was 5, 5, 5, 6, 5, 6, 5, 4, 5, 4, 6, 5 and 5 2/3. So, I mean, he's getting you 5 or 6 innings most of the times that he goes out there, and he's holding that stuff. He was a guy they kind of remade the fastball. It's not like a sinker. It's really just more of a true two-seamer. So it gets, you know, more arm side run than it gets ride. But it's so hard, and he does get a fair amount of arm side run on that pitch that it's a good combination. So yeah, Teodo to me, like you said, I think could be the guy that comes out. And I mean, he's popped, I think, 101, 102 this season. I'd have to double check on what his max is. Yeah, but I mean, he's a guy that come out and he could pop a 102, maybe even a 103 in a short stint if he really airs it out. And you light up the radar gun like that, you're going to excite some people. I got a couple other names here. I'm excited that Fernando Perez is here. He's pitched really well this year. It's a great change up. Unfortunately, he was pitching this week in that game where, you know, a teammate was injured pretty badly and they called off the rest of the game. Josh Norris was there and has an article up on Baseball America about it. You can go check that out. I'm happy he's here, but he's not the next guy I'm so excited about. It's Dana. I think Dana is one of the best prospects the Angels have had in 5 or 6 years. You know, we don't count Shohei Ohtani as a prospect, right? this is a guy that, you know, 20 years old, is holding his own in Double A, which is not easy to do. Throws a lot of strikes. He's got pretty good stuff. He's got not crazy shapes, but good enough shapes with some power. Knows how to pitch. It's a good pitcher's build as well. He's a guy that I'm pretty excited about to see. Just maybe get an inning out of Caden Dana. And unfortunately, I have not seen Dana in person before. So at least not since high school. I haven't seen him as a professional in person. So I'm excited to see that. I think that could be an exciting inning. And then I would say Winston Santos, who's another fireballer from the Rangers, that they sort of remade his fastball and his pitch mix this year. I wrote about it a couple of weeks ago. And in my breakout pitching prospects article from the beginning of June. Yeah, so that's one of those where it's a couple of names like that that I'm excited about. Anybody else in the staff, or even somebody that I mentioned that you're also excited to see?
No, it was Caden Dana and Winston Santos, the guys I would have mentioned. But I mean, Luis Morales too is kind of interesting as well.
Stuff wise, he's another guy that could hit 100. There's some velocity in this group.
Yeah, for sure. But I think Caden Dana is has thrown the most innings in the minor leagues. It's like 90 innings, and he's averaging like 5.5 innings per game. Like he's
20.
Yeah, exactly. He's definitely he's got the starters, the workhorse.
He's following the college inning buildup plan, but doing it professionally. That's it. But that's rare. We don't see a lot of high school arms, even a couple years after their draft class, building up like that. And let's say he gets to 150 innings in AA. You may have some confidence next year, especially with an organization that could potentially call this guy up in August, the way that they operate. But he could be in the majors next year, and he could be a guy where you're like, I don't know if there's any serious inning restrictions here. This is a guy that could legitimately go out there and, you know, throw 150, 160, maybe even 170 innings next year, as long as he stays healthy through the rest of the year and the spring, which with pitchers, always a question. That's me knocking on wood. But yeah, I think he's a really interesting one. And I would even garner to say maybe a prime target here at the trade deadline. If you're a rebuilding team and you're looking for maybe a pitcher or a secondary player to kick into a trade with a bigger piece, and you're trading away a vet or one of your better MLB guys, that may not be a bad place to go. I think Dane is a good one. And he kind of checks a few different boxes in terms of a guy who could come up, handle some innings, work deep into games in a decent ballpark, and take advantage of that maybe at 2021, right? And all of a sudden you got this young pitcher in the major leagues that you got a lot of runway for his career as well. So I think Dana he's on a top 100, but he might even be an underrated player. You know, I don't know how high he was on your future projected 100. I'd have to pull it up. Looking at that yesterday. And then it reminded me that Jose Fermin needed to move up on the Cardinals list.
Old Jose Fermin. That RoboScus can live and die by that one.
The skills are so good, though. I know we're going off a little bit here on a guy who's, you know, been in the majors a little bit for the last 2 years, but has not graduated from prospect status just yet. You know, he's not a great defender, but a pretty good defender. He can play three different positions. I think he's a good second baseman. Some questions with the arm and that sort of thing, but he's a plus runner. The contact skills are absurd. I mean, it's like 70 contact. If you wanted to go, I don't want to go 80 because I think that's overboard, but you look at the underlying skills, it's not that different from what we're seeing with Jacob Wilson, you know, who's been great, by the way. Fermin, not a ton of power. It's 40 power. The EVs are a little bit more than Wilson's. Wilson's younger, bigger guy. I think he'll maybe get to those 101s that we see from Fermin. But great batted ball angles. He's a guy that really changed. I think that the change in his game was really the launch angles. This year, I think his average launch angle was like 15 degrees. And last year, I think it was closer to like 7 or 8. So there's been some improvements in that. And I think what it is, he's one of these guys where he just makes a ton of flush contact, sort of in that Thomas Sejesi, CJ Kafis sort of deal where the EVs aren't crazy, but he can always sort of outperform that with a slug because he makes such clean flush contact at 85 to 95 miles an hour fairly consistently. So that was a good one. But anyway, kind of got a little bit off track there, but yeah. Anything else you want to say about the AL pitching staff before we go into the position players here?
No, just more just like how the Rangers, the props they should be getting for their pitching development with Emilio Teodo, Winston Santos, and then there's Alejandro Rosario, there's Cole Drake, who's a favorite of mine. I think Kumar Rocker is back on a rehab or something, and he threw 98. Not that, you know, they should get credit for that necessarily.
Honestly, he was really good before he went down last year.
Yeah.
Like he was trending up. You know, and I think everyone kind of thought that was a bad pick, but no, I mean, he's been trending up and yeah, I mean, I think I believe he's in the complex right now and made an appearance on Friday, actually on the 5th through 2 innings, did allow a couple of hits and a home run was one of those, struck out 3, with no walks. We got to go check out who it was that hit a home run off of him. I'll figure that out before the end of the show. But yeah, so that's, you know, pretty exciting. Yeah, I think you're right with the Rangers. I don't think they get enough credit for what they've done with some of their development over the last couple of years on the hitting and the pitching side. Because even guys like J.C. and Roby, you know, allowed them to go get Jordan Montgomery last year. And so J.C.'s a top 100 prospect. You know, Roby has been a top 100 prospect since that trade. Obviously, he's been dealing with some injuries this year and ineffectiveness, but I don't think his career is washed at all, especially what you've heard from scouts and what they believe internally. So, yeah, I think the Rangers maybe deserve a little bit more credit. And we may look back in a few years and say, wow, they were maybe better at drafting and developing than we had initially thought. So I think everyone just kind of looks at, they spent a ton of money in free agency and they bought this championship and all that stuff. But I think there's a lot of other nice pieces there, you know, not to even take anything away from Evan Carter, who I think was a surprise pick in that 2020 draft. They did a great job of scouting and developing that guy. Obviously he's been dealing with some injuries this year, but a really good player that projects to be a star for them in the future. I mean, he was hitting the middle of the lineup in the World Series. Not many guys that can do that, but let's move on to our position group here. I'll go through group by group. Catchers, Sammy Vassallo, Harry Ford, Kyle Teal. That's an exciting group. Infielders, Xavier Isaac. Brooks Lee, I would imagine, is probably being replaced because he's in the major leagues. Hao-Yu Lee, who's had a really good year, sort of under the radar this year, too, just in terms of what his production has been. Marcelo Meyer. Meyer has not had any issues of being under the radar with his production. One of the highest rated players in our top 100, I think, in most sort of prospect rankings, and somebody that the fan base here in Boston has been asking about and sort of waiting for his arrival. So that's one. Colson Montgomery with the White Sox, Ralphie Velasquez with the Guardians, Sebastian Walcott with the Rangers, Cole Young with the Mariners, Jason Chirio. So we got a brother duo. Jackson was there last year. Jason here this year. Max Clark, Gavin Cross, Spencer Jones, Chandler Simpson. And then a couple of guys who are in the Future Skills Showcase. Don't ask me to explain that. I'll tell you more when I see it. Roman Anthony and Trey Morgan. So among this group, give me a couple of names that you're most excited.
I'm very curious. They did announce that I think Luke Keyshaw is replacing Brooks Lee.
Okay, that makes sense.
And I'm kind of interested to see that. But I think Hao-Yu Lee, you kind of touched on it there. I'm very interested to see how he looks in that group. He's been a RoboScout guy for a few weeks now. I think he's like 16th or 15th or something like that overall in that top 100 that just came out. Yeah. It's just solid across the board. It's like good contact, good 90th percentile exit velocity, good chase, good barrel rate, more like stolen bases, power, WRC plus, walks and strikeouts. Like it's just the whole package is kind of there. So I just want to see how it looks like on the field with his peers there. So I'm very interested in that one. Sebastian Walcott, I think, would be interesting. I just want to see if he looks, you know, overmatched or if he looks like he fits right in.
Things have really been trending in the right direction for him. I don't know if you've looked at any of the advanced Statcast data that we look at. If you compare it to some previous weeks, he's really taken a pretty significant jump just in terms of the contact. It's gone from like a 30-20 to like a 45, right? Like it's just under that 70% threshold. Same thing with the end zone contact. That's improved as well. The chase rate's been pretty good. There's been some drastic improvements with him too. And obviously there's power and tools. He was over-assigned, but it seems like he's getting the sea legs a little bit. So I would honestly say that those were two players that came to top of mind for me as well. But that being said, one of the tasks that I do every year with JJ, it's one of the things that I enjoy the most. I would say it's the thing I enjoy the most about the Futures game. And that is watching batting practice with all these guys and just looking at the raw power in a major league stadium with this collection of top prospects. That's always exciting to watch. Xavier Isaac is one that I'm really excited to see him and Sammy Vassallo and Spencer Jones all go toe-to-toe-to-toe in batting practice and see, you know, how these guys are launching. Who's the most impressive? You know, a couple years ago in Los Angeles, it was Francisco Alvarez and Joe and Kenzie Noel that were hitting, you know, the catwalks and, you know, the berms or whatever it is behind the, you know, the bleachers there at Dodger Stadium, you know, the overhang. absolute nuke shots, you know, consistently. Brady House, I think, had the most impressive BP last year, if I remember, in Seattle, which is a funny one. But you got some boppers here, and I think one that probably I didn't mention in that group, but probably can hold his own, is Ralphie Velasquez. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that hits the ball really, really hard. He's optimized for, you know, hard fly ball contact. He's a guy that could put on a show in batting practice as well. And, you know, a high school pick from just a year ago, and here he is in the Futures game. So I know I kind of gave four there, but I think it's those mashers. I'm really excited to see those guys in batting practice, you know, sort of taking flight and, you know, seeing who's the grand champion of the group. So, yeah, it's an exciting group and a powerful group. I mean, Xavier Isaac, I would say right now, is probably the most interesting prospect to me. Just because the recent reports that we've gotten, the athleticism has ticked up a bunch. He's running really well. You know, like moving really well down the line for a big guy. And I think there's even some chance, some whispers we've heard of him potentially playing some outfield here in the second half, which I think is really exciting. If, you know, it's a guy that can play in multiple positions, obviously opens up an opportunity for him to get up to the big leagues a little bit earlier and show us what he can do. But he's one of the most exciting prospects, I think, among this group, and really just in general. But once again, I want to go back to the catching group here too. What a talented catching group. Sayo, Ford, Teal. You know, 2-3 years from now, we may look at this group and see two starting catchers and one first baseman DH with 30 home runs. You know, I don't know if I'm ready to say Basayo is going to catch, but that being said, I mean, he's come back from the arm injury and he's been catching pretty consistently lately. So, and you know, they like some of the improvements there, but obviously just with a bigger guy, that's always a little bit of a concern. Anybody else here? We have a speed merchant too. Anyone else that you're excited about?
I mean, will Roman Anthony be in the batting practice? I assume so, right? I mean,
I don't know.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. He's in the future skills showcase. I'm not totally sure about that. I don't know if those guys will take BP or if they'll participate in this, just this thing, and that's it, you know.
Because he's a sneaky one to you know, wow them at the BP. He's got his 90th percentile, I think, is even higher than Isaac and Basayo as well. So
yeah, so could Meyer. I mean, Meyer still hits the ball hard, not as hard as that group, but hits the ball really hard. Yeah, I mean, it's just I've seen Portland for like 10 games already this season. So
it's old hat. Right,
I'm not that excited to see him because I'm probably going to see him again when I come back here too. So, you know, and then I'll see him in Worcester when they get promoted to AAA, you know, that's when Worcester's going to be really exciting to go check out. So yeah. Kind of interesting though, an interesting group overall. And I like that we're seeing, I think we saw Jackson consecutive years in the Futures game. And now we keep the Cheerio tradition alive with Jason. So that's a pretty good one. Let's move on to the NL pitching staff here, Dylan. NL staff, Bubba Chandler, Chase Dolander, Tink Hentz, Rhett Lauder, Quinn Matthews, Noble Meyer, Robbie Snelling, Brandon Sproat, Thomas White. This is a loaded pitching group. So what are your thoughts there? Who are your guys?
Wow. I mean, this one, you're right. This one is loaded.
All of them.
Yeah, all of them, pretty much. I think maybe for like electric stuff, maybe Bubba Chandler. See how that plays out. Thomas White is going to be another interesting one too, as well. I mean, kind of like Noah Schultz light kind of thing. Tink Hentz, I always like watching Tink Hentz, so I'd like to see that too. And then maybe Chase Dolander's maybe the one I want to see, that kind of the whole an inning, like pitch by pitch, every single thing, how he works all the batters. I'd like to see that. So yeah, I basically took everybody, but you know, I think for electric stuff, I'll go with Bubba Chandler. I'm very curious to see that on the big stage.
Yeah, I think Bubba is a great one to throw out there. Really exciting player. Saw him earlier. The one I'm most excited to see, he said two. Chase Dolander. I haven't had a chance to see Chase Dolander. I was never here on the Cape. He was assigned to teams, just never pitched here because he was obviously a big deal. I'm excited to see Dolander because he's not been called up to AA yet. This might be the first time I see him, and then he might be traveling back to the East Coast with me, you know, heading back to Hartford. So solid chance that that's the case. But yeah, I'm excited to see Dolander. He's had a good year. Swing and miss stuff, big fastball, good slider, He's kind of falls into that mode of trying to pitch, strike everybody out. You'd like to see a little bit more efficiency, but he's really exciting. You know, I've seen Tink a bunch, so I'm not going to throw that one out there. But it's a battle between Sprout and Quinn Matthews for me. Mm-hmm. I've seen Quinn Matthews on the Cape. I saw Quinn Matthews when he was dominating at like 89 miles an hour. I want to see this high-octane Quinn Matthews. I didn't see the Cardinals this year in spring training for the first year of the last three, so did not see Matthews or get tipped off to that. But he's really exciting, and I'm pretty pumped up to see what Quinn Matthews looks like in this game.
Very good, very good. I knew you'd probably want to take Quinn Matthews there, so I didn't want to take him from you.
He's slowly becoming my guy, I guess. Then we'll go through the position group here. Catchers, Drake Baldwin, Therion Lorenzo, Ethan Salas. Those are Braves, Dodgers, and Padres prospects. Cam Collier from the Reds. Davis and De Los Santos from the D-backs. Bryce Eldridge from the Giants. Tamar Johnson from the Pirates. Aiden Miller from the Phillies. Jurel Perez from the Dodgers, our guy. Cooper Pratt from the Brewers. Matt Shaw from the Cubs. Owen Casey from the Cubs. Justin Crawford from the Phillies. Dylan Cruz from the Nationals. Drew Jones from the Diamondbacks. And, well, it's listed as James Wood, but we know that he probably won't be participating. I don't know if they've named what his replacement is yet or not. But of this group, Dylan, who are you most excited to see?
Who I want to see in the batting practice, probably De Los Santos, Bryce Eldridge, Owen Casey.
Yeah.
Even Drew Jones. I like to see what, how he does in batting practice.
Lorenzo's another. Yeah.
And like another unsung hitter is Drake Baldwin.
Yes.
Every week I want to write about him, but he's like not performing, but like underneath the hood is just like red everywhere. It's like above average, everything, contact, chase, swing decisions, barrel rate, 90th mm-hmm. percentile. Like it's all there. The reports on the defense are pretty good too. He's now in AAA. So like he could open some eyes. His 90th percentile exit velocity is over 106 miles an hour. He could put on a show maybe in batting practice. Or maybe he throws out Chandler Simpson trying to steal a base or something, and then everyone's talking about that. I mean, a lot of guys here. I mean, pick your poison here. Jurel Perez of the Dodgers, I would like to see that. I'd like to see it in action against, you know, all-stars. I think it's Jurel Perez and Owen Casey are probably the two I'm most interested in watching.
You know, it's Cooper Pratt for me. I've heard a lot of good things about Pratt from scouts this season. So I'm excited just to get a look on sort of what he looks like and what the batting practice is like, how he's playing out there defensively. I think he's an exciting one, and one that if he puts on a performance as a guy whose stock could pop pretty significantly over this futures game. But just went through both rosters, Dylan. I think that was a pretty decent little preview that we did. Anything else you want to say before we wrap this sucker up for the week?
No, I think we pretty much nailed it.
Well, for Dylan and for Jeff, thanks for tuning in to the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. Enjoy the futures game. See you guys next week.
Cheers.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.